Hey, this is Brian Jump. Welcome to the SAI Service Marketing Podcast. We're coming to you live recorded from Gatorville, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We are out here for my youngest son's baseball game series against the Florida Gators. So you're going to get this content from the bayou. Yes, sirree, Bob. We got probably snakes crawling underneath this. There's all kinds of critters. And I'm talking about the people that live here. No, very nice people. I'll tell you right now, if I could say so, I think that the West Coast, SoCal, could really take a page out of the culture and the manners of the South. The people here are overall very nice, very welcoming, very warm. Strangers will greet you and say, good day or how are you? You don't catch a lot of that in SoCal. So it's something I wish that would permeate the culture of SoCal. So anyway, so we're enjoying that. The weather's been reasonable. Luckily, last night, LSU beat the Gators behind some really good pitching, 5-1. So our young man's going to hopefully take charge and do his business tonight. We will be front and center checking that out. We've got a great surprise. Today, I've got a guest. Instead of just babbling on solo con carne, I've got Adrian Aguilar. I've mentioned him occasionally if you're a longtime listener. He is a striving and hard grinding working young man, mid-30s, married, and he owns his own hair salon, has done so for some years, and I'll introduce him in here, and he's gonna tell you his story. And then we're gonna pretty much go over growth options. I think it's good for anybody that listens, no matter what your industry is. I think there's always little tidbits. I like to cross-pollinate. I like to study roofing businesses or other service businesses because it may not be the exact business that you're in, those growth levers might be similar and it might spur some ideas. So without further ado, here he is. Here's Adrian Aguilar. Adrian, thanks for taking the time.
Of course. My pleasure. Yeah, so I guess I'm trying to think about my journey, how I started. I got licensed and immediately started working in LA. And I chose LA just strictly because I was kind of just going after like a place I could charge like the most. And I figured LA would be like the place to start.
Yeah, smart.
I grew up in Orange County and I was like contemplating on staying in Orange County, but I was like, I wanted to change. So I went for LA, started my journey there. And passed out my resume, got hired at a salon in Beverly Hills.
Yeah. And pretty much the peak of the peak in LA.
Yeah, pretty much. So I basically just started assisting for like these like well-established stylists out there. And it was interesting though, because when you go to school, like you're kind of, you basically do both, like cut and color. And when I got hired at the salon, they told me I can only specialize in one area, either color or cutting. So at that time, I kind of just chose cutting because I was more comfortable with it. And then, yeah, just kind of started my journey from that place on.
What kind of clientele? I mean, obviously compared to like Orange County or other places, I mean, those people are dropping some pretty big money for a haircut or color.
Yeah, during that time, I mean, I feel like it was people have money. They were just repetitive, like they were coming in every like 4 weeks to get their like touch up done. A lot of them had money, they tipped really well, but now that I think back on it, it's so competitive in LA and it's so saturated that like I found it pretty hard to build a clientele in that area specifically.
How old were you?
I was probably like in my early 20s, so maybe like 21, 22.
Yeah, so you're just starting your journey, your marketing knowledge, if you don't mind me saying, is probably is new.
New, yeah. Everything I'm like learning, I'm literally just trying to absorb as much as I can. And I was actually kind of getting like passed around from different stylists. So like I noticed that each stylist had like, they were really good at what they did like with certain things. So like one guy would be really good at blow drying and then another guy would be good at like just coloring and so on and so forth. So I kind of feel like I just learned from everyone and just ended up utilizing like all of their skills and
right. did it my own. And when you were doing this, were you living in LA or were you commuting?
I think I was living in LA. I was renting a room from one of my buddies.
Okay.
Yeah. Who was from Diamond Bar. So him and I connected and then, yeah, we started rooming together and then my commute was obviously like super close. It wasn't that far at all.
Yeah. So you did that. You got to learn how the wealthy enjoy services and paid extra for it, but at the same time, to try to grow your own deal with your newness, it was a little bit of a challenge.
It was challenging, yeah.
Yep.
I don't think I was like thinking about like how to go on my own at that point, because I was just trying to like find my way and navigate through like everything.
The business.
A business, yeah. I kind of was just looking at like, okay, let me just learn all the skills I can, and eventually they'll give me my own chair. Understood. Then I could start building like a clientele.
Right. Right. Yeah, and that makes sense.
Yeah.
You gotta crawl before you can walk.
Yeah.
Okay, so you did that, and then I believe you moved, right?
So I assisted for a few years, and then they finally gave me, they were like, okay, we're gonna put you on the floor and you're gonna get your own station. And at that time, this was probably like maybe 2 years of assisting, just doing the grunt work, like shampooing, sweeping the hair, folding towels. It was the worst.
Paying your dues.
Yeah, paid my dues. And then they're like, okay, like you're gonna get your own chair. And at that time, I actually wasn't, I didn't feel like I was ready. So I ended up leaving that salon, and I ended up getting hired at another salon that was like maybe two doors down, this place called Tom Brophy. And that place, every time I would go to lunch, I'd always pass by that salon, and I'd always wave at the owner, and he looked like he had like a really good, like just a good vibe.
Good demeanor.
I was like, he was always cutting, like the guy was always busy every time I walked by. And I just kind of knew, I was like, that's the guy that I would want to learn from, right? And then, so I ended up getting hired at that salon, and I assisted like an extra year. And then they finally gave me my own chair. And then at that moment, that's when I felt like it really started to begin. Like, just, I had to figure out how to build a clientele.
Right.
So I started working there. And then it got to a point where I was like, I was making like peanuts. I wasn't really making that much.
Right.
And I was like, you know what, like maybe I should just go back home, like closer to home. And I wanted to buy a house, and I felt like trying to buy in LA was really tough.
Sure.
So I moved back home, got hired at another salon. And then at that moment, that's when I felt like I built a clientele a lot faster in Chino Hills than I did in LA.
Right.
So yeah, so I moved from LA to like Chino Hills area.
And explain, From a mile standpoint, the distance from Chino Hills to LA, what's the mileage?
It's probably like about like maybe like 40 miles.
Okay. So yeah. not tremendously out of the area, but it's not something you wouldn't want to drive 80 miles, although people do in SoCal, but
yeah.
So
yeah.
And you were living there at that time.
Yeah. So I mean, I moved back with my dad, and then started working at a salon in Chino Hills, and I was telling my mom this, like, I just felt like I built a clientele a lot faster in Chino Hills than I did in LA. And I don't know if it was just because maybe I was getting better at like marketing, or I was getting myself out there.
Sure.
But I feel like wherever you live, the closer you live to like where you work, I think it's just easier to build a clientele.
Network.
Yeah. You know, you're going to your local coffee shops, you're passing out business cards.
Tell them what I do, friends and family, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So, and then another like gem that, at least for like my industry, is that like I kind of, the salon I worked at in Chino Hills, they were open every day. So I purposely sacrificed the year working Sundays and Mondays, which typically like salons are usually closed on those days.
That's right.
So I purposely worked on those 2 days, me and maybe like one other stylist. And we would get like a lot of people coming in, and it literally like every walk-in was just going to us.
Love it.
So I built like a whole, I felt like I built a clientele in like a year just sacrificing working on those 2 days.
Yeah. So you discovered an opportunity that wasn't being served.
Yeah.
And said, you know, I can build off of this.
100%. Yeah. So basically did that. And then I think I was thinking like long-term at that point. And I was like, I love the salon, but I've always wanted to like kind of go on my own and have like a studio suite. And so from there, I moved to the Sola Salon, which was in the same area, Chino Hills. Literally like across the street. So
explain what Sola is.
Sola is like, they're these individual like suites for stylists who just basically like kind of want to have like full control on running like their business. So I don't think it's meant for everyone, but like if you're, I don't know, I feel like if you're driven and you know how to do it, like, I mean, I feel like you'd be making more money if you have your own suite.
So it's like a strip mall, whatever. You go into one building and there's X amount of stylists and...
Yeah. You're not really like looking for walk-ins if you end up like going to those type of places.
Right.
You should be already established. Right. But yeah, I mean, it's like I said, you have like full control, and it's like, you know, you You do everything. So it's like a one-man job almost.
Yeah. So you did that for how long?
Did that for 3.5 years.
Okay.
And the end goal was always to basically do, basically have what my mom has. Is like have a studio in your house and basically work from home.
Right. So that cuts off the rent.
Yeah. So so that was my goal. So I stayed at that Sola salon for like 3.5 years. And then finally, my wife and I bought a house in Pomona, California, in the historic district. And then we started working on the build out. And it took about 6 months. And converted it. And it's a sick ass studio.
It really is.
I love it.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's got a lot of style.
Yeah. It's everything I've ever wanted. I work from home now. I don't pay rent. I would say the first couple months were definitely an adjustment, you know, like just working from home and being cooped up there all day was a little tough in the beginning, but now like I found my, like my routine, I get out of the house and yeah, I serve my clients basically there. So
mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're still building your clientele?
Always building. Yeah. Always building. Definitely. I think that's why, like, I always listen to your podcast. Because like you said, like I like learning about different industries and just business is like business. You know?
It is.
If you're good at marketing and everything, you could build any type of
business. Right. It doesn't matter. Plumbing or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and you have a restroom in there.
Yeah. I got a restroom. I have enough room to put like 2 chairs, but I basically have 1 chair. I serve my clients. It's definitely more intimate. It's like a private studio. So mm-hmm. I don't really double book. I'd rather just like work on one client. Take my time, right. Charge accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And then the days I don't work, I rent those days out to an esthetician.
Actually. Right. I remember that. And she's still coming in.
She's still there. Yeah. So she's renting 1 day a week on Saturdays. And then the goal is for her to rent, to pick up another day and rent on Sundays.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah. So
love it. All right. So you're established. It took you 5-6 years out of Cosmetol or, you know, what do you it's not barber, cosmetology school. Yeah. And so, and you were more barbering, but then you kind of transitioned into adding color, correct? Because you knew the price point was higher.
100%. Yeah. That's okay. Where the money's at.
Yeah. Barbers are cool and stuff, and their styles. You and I have talked about that. There's the most coolest, wicked barber shops. There's one right here in Baton Rouge that Adrian went to.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, the money's just not there. And then it's like, why are you in business? Are you in business to have fun and look stylish?
Yeah.
Or make a buck?
You know, it's funny because I feel like barbering took off. So, like, I think back in the day, yeah, I mean, like, they're doing these cuts for, like, you know, 30, 40 bucks maybe. But, like, I know barbers that are charging, like, 100, 150 a cut.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, it's taking them, like, maybe 45 minutes to, like, an hour.
Yeah.
And they're booked. And it's, like, surprisingly, guys can be a little bit more picky than girls, actually.
Absolutely.
And but
especially when it comes to cuts.
When it comes to cuts, but they're coming in every like 3 to 4 weeks. So it's just constant. It's repetitive.
It's like a touch up for women.
Yeah. Great, so great I touch feel up. Like the right barbers are making a killing for sure.
So it's growing.
Charging what they're worth. Mm-hmm. You know, they value like what they do. And they're taking classes in education too.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of goes beyond just a cut, right? It's like the minute you walk in, it's like the experience. It's like the service, everything. And so there's obviously money in color and styling, but like I also do think like there's barbers out there that are killing it.
Right. But if you had to compare both, if you had to take a left at barbering or take a right turn at coloring.
I would do color because I wouldn't want to serve like, I wouldn't want to like cut 10 people a day. I'd rather cut like maybe 2 or 3
right.
Or color 2 or 3.
Right.
Yeah.
And make the same or better money.
Yeah, so I'd rather exactly.
Work well, and that's kind of I consider that to be one of the most important metrics is how much money per unit of time.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't charge based on time. You're not going to say, okay, you know, ma'am, however long it takes me to color your grays, that's how long you're going to, the meter starts running now. You charge per the job, just like we do in our industry.
Yeah.
In the automotive, you know, auto body, I don't charge, we don't have a meter that I click like an Uber or a taxi.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, then I'm just working for the clock and I don't want to, I'd rather have my expertise, just like yours, and my skills. All right, so you're established, you've got your own salon, you've nixed out your overhead costs for the most part. Now you just pay your mortgage, which is great. You're comfortable. Yes. You got a space that you feel comfortable. You can do your artistry and your work out of.
Yes.
So the next phase is how do I shift this, you know, big block Chevelle into second gear and get growth?
Yeah.
So that's what this podcast is often about. we talk about pricing and all kinds of different aspects of marketing. So let's do that. Let's spitball. Let's talk about some options that you're considering or that at least you know are out there, and then maybe you can weigh in on those. So do you want to, there's usually, like you and I've talked about, there's like a list of things you could do. So let's just pick one, and then we'll dive into it a little bit.
I mean, I love the whole like the Solus Suites concept, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, that I feel like that would be like the next level.
Okay, renting out some chairs, have your own salon.
Yeah, and maybe starting smaller, not having as many as like a Sola where right. they have like, you know, 40 units. Like,
yeah.
Maybe like, I don't know, like 10, but 10 really good ones, you mm-hmm. know. And then obviously charging, like, it would depend on like the area and all that stuff.
But sure.
Yeah, I think Sola Suites would be a great start.
Mm-hmm. So you get a spot, you build it out, mm-hmm. You could, or you wouldn't have to have your own clientele there. You could simply just be an operator at this point and not a,
yeah.
not a worker, just, I'm sorry, an owner, not an operator. Yeah. And then rent it out. So that could get you a good solid. I mean, and then of course you could scale that. You could either brand it like Sola. I don't know. Is Sola a franchise? Do you know?
I believe it is. Yeah.
I think it might be. Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, if they got 40 units and yeah. let's say their rent is $6,000 or $8,000 a month, maybe 10. Let's just call it 10.
Yeah.
And then
they're collecting from each, at least the unit I think I was paying about $1,600 a month.
Oh shit.
For okay. one unit.
Yeah. So they, even 40 times a grand, I mean, they're netting out yeah. 20, 30 G's.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good business model, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, you know, the funny thing, when you were talking about this, Adrian, I was thinking, and I saw this one time, I saw back in the day, there was just this open air concrete pad in Southern California, not too far from one of the auto auctions in Anaheim. And there was at least 10 or 12 small auto body guys working on this concrete pad. And it was kind of painted off. You had your little two parking spots for each little guy. And then he had his easy ups out there. I mean, the weather in SoCal is way more convenient for this deal.
Yeah.
But whoever owned that little spot, it was like a Sola salon, ghetto fabulous style for auto bodies, and all these guys were grinding, and were all busy.
Yeah.
You know, working, probably doing a lot of customers' cars for the auction, like dealers and stuff that were flipping or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's funny how the Sola formula could probably be walked into a lot of different industries, like auto body or whatever. 100%. You know, it's so weird. I mean, there's, you know, and that just, I throw that out there for anybody that's listening, and even you know, that maybe there might be something else. But even going back, let's wind it back. So you could find a salon space,
yeah.
build it out. I don't know, investment, maybe $100,000, maybe a little bit more for the build out.
Yeah.
Rent, I mean, buying would be great, but let's just say you rent it and you're just looking for cash. It's a cash flow business.
Yeah.
Which is, trust me, there's so much volume in that.
I know this one salon that was like your traditional salon, had like maybe, I don't know, like 15 chairs maybe, right?
Wow, big.
Big. It's a big salon, and they cut in half, and half of it was your regular like commission based salon,
mm-hmm.
and then they turned the other half into suites.
Yeah, there you go.
Like individual suites,
yeah.
And now, I mean, that owner is just probably generating a good amount.
Yeah, know? Yeah, a good amount. He doesn't even need to be there. He probably has his little manager, or whatever.
Yeah.
Who also does the bookings?
100%. And like, yeah. And these suites.
That's actually a really good formula.
Yeah, and these suites, they get rented out, so I don't think you're gonna have a problem, because everyone at some point, I feel like there's a lot of people that want to just go on their own and just have, like I said, full control.
Right.
You know, like I know there's other people that like the more traditional salon based like environment.
Yeah.
And they like to work alongside other people.
Right.
But I think if you're really thinking about your clientele and you want to provide like a really great, like good experience, like just making it more intimate, you know,
yeah.
making it about them.
Yeah.
I think you kill it that way.
Right. So. And this is what you've learned in your, I mean, I don't know how many years it's been now. It's probably been 8-9 years, totally, right?
No, it's probably been like 13.
Wow, yeah, time 13, flies. God.
Yeah, 13, 14 years.
He's only 20 years old, which is crazy. He
yeah.
started when you're 7. No, it's nuts. That's crazy. Because the one thing that you've, I mean, you figured out a lot more than one thing, but you figured out the importance of customer experience. So they're 100%. Basically the feels.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the same with our business. At the end of the day, everybody thinks, oh, the job's got to be beautiful, and you probably at the beginning thought the cut's got to be on point. Not really. And even your mom's kind of figured out. She doesn't always hit home runs, albeit she's an artist,
yeah.
just like you are. But or even what we do, we not may not deliver on the deliverable, but at the end of the day, if the customer walks out and feels like they're happy,
you win them over.
It's a home run. It's a grand slam. So, and that's, I used to hit my head against the wall seeing all these operators in MySpace, and maybe you have too, that weren't that good. Yeah. But yet they were just crushing, and you're like, how are they, what am I missing here?
Yeah, I think it's just like, I feel like it comes down to just connecting to that person, you know?
Right.
Like you said, like, you could be mediocre, but like, be really great at like, just selling yourself and marketing and your image.
Yeah.
And you'll be booked in opening up salons after salons.
And that, if you guys haven't figured out, I mean, if
that's
you,
the key.
I hope you don't mind saying it. Adrian's got a lot of charisma. And that's very hard to be teachable, but he either was born with it and or learned it. And if I can tell you guys anything in this episode, and I think Adrian will echo it, is that charisma and connecting with clients, making them feel good, giving them the experience, like you said, is no matter what you do, I don't care any service business that, you know, that you have or service, I don't care if you run a small boutique hotel or whatever, you know, right now we're in an Airbnb here in Baton Rouge and we're having an experience and we've talked about things that we thought were good. And as business people, all three of us, we've also said, you know, they can improve on this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And that's just what it is. It's all, and you've got your 10, 13 years in and you're growing, you're striving, you got your foot on the gas pedal. So that's, to me, that's awesome because that's why you're succeeding and you're going to succeed more. So option number one for growth, let's recap.
Okay.
You could do your own salon. You could find a space probably in a good part of town somewhere, upscale, a lot of visibility, maybe even a bonus. There could be enough, some walk-in business for those people that are renting your chairs and or your staff, right?
Right. That's another one.
I mean, your mother used to work in a couple real nice salons down Laguna Beach, right near freaking tourists, you know, USA.
Yeah.
And people, either tourists or locals, would be walking by and she would cast her net and she'd get walk-ins and the front desk would either rotate them in.
Yeah.
I mean, I just did that at the barber here in town where I walked in and the first guy that, you know, looked at me and I started talking and we just kind of chatted him up. Just more for an aesthetic of the barbershop, you know, we were talking about. But nonetheless, that's kind of how it works. So that's what you could do. Mm-hmm. And that would make you a decent amount of money. Let's go into a second option, another growth lever that could give you some expansion.
Maybe like a product line?
Product line, okay.
Yeah.
So who's the big boy that did that?
Oh, product in our industry, I would say, who's the product line in our industry, would you say?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, you can do Paul Mitchell, yeah.
Paul Mitchell, of course. So Paul Mitchell, millionaire or billionaire?
I mean, the guy's a billionaire.
He's a billy.
Yeah.
He is a true rock solid billy.
Yeah.
80s, 90s, and beyond. So he started off, I think either he was an investor with his buddy, who was a stylist. I think that's how it went. There's a really good YouTube video on him. That if you guys want to check it out, but yeah, that's what he did with his knowledge of the hair industry. He's like, you know what, and it wasn't, he didn't take off. You watched the YouTube, right? Didn't we watch it?
Yeah.
So what Mitchell did with a partner, and then I think they eventually had some investments, but they went around and they did the hair shows. They actually would go salon to salons, you know, schlepping their products, and then eventually it took off, and now it's a $1 billion, you know, brand, and you definitely could do that, you know. And back then, there wasn't any Amazon. There wasn't, you know, online e-com like it is now. And I think, not to say it's going to be easy, but I think even with a couple of SKUs, I was telling Adrian that I just did some just simple research to find out how much volume is out there right now. And even on Amazon, I mean, there's people that are doing six figures plus, seven figures even, with certain one, two SKU product lines.
Yeah.
So, and they're not like super big brands, you know, so... that you definitely could do that. So what, in your mind, if you were going to examine that further, what would be like, give me some pros and cons.
Well, first, if I was going to come up with a product line, I'd figure out, like, I feel like solution wise, like what do people struggle with? Right.
Right.
Like thin hair, if they're looking for something like that gives density, I would look for a problem and just find the solution versus what I personally would want.
And you're at the front lines. You're fighting the good fight with your clients. So they're going to, these ladies and maybe a few dudes are going to come in and say, man, do you have something for this? Or they'll just say, I wish I had this. And then you try to solve for that.
Yeah.
So yeah. Fine hair or.
Yeah. And I would only come out with, exactly. Like maybe just a couple products, test it out. I mean, honestly, I'd rather just talk to my clientele and ask them what they're struggling
with. That's the smartest thing to do. You serve it
from there.
Right, of course. Instead of just guessing.
Yeah.
Oh, I think the world should have purple hair clips.
I mean, I personally would love to just come out with a texture spray, but everyone has a texture spray. So it's like, I just know that wouldn't do well.
So go where the need is.
Where the need is, yeah.
And then go deep. Yeah. Okay. So product line. Okay. So you see how to discover what the product would be.
Yeah.
What's a detracting factor? Would it be cost? Would it be be the testing, you know, packaging. What, I mean, there's, and then of course the marketing. What do you think? Or all those things? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would come down to just, yeah, I mean, like hiring a chemist, like, you know, honestly, I feel like all these products are very similar, and if they're maybe just tweaking the ingredient here and there, and
right,
just slapping their name on it.
I think they're doing too. I think they're getting stuff like the.
It comes down to marketing again. You know,
it's all marketing. Yeah, exactly.
It's all the same chemicals.
And then at that point, once you maybe have an established clientele and you've got traction, then you could hire a chemist or product testers or whatever, and really, and I do you know what native deodorant is? Have you heard of that? Okay, so then if you watch the Native story, that's pretty much what Moyes did.
Okay.
Moyes bought some home brewed out of this lady's kitchen. She was making deodorant in pots and pans in her kitchen, her and her daughter.
Yeah.
And he found it on Etsy. He says, you know, I'm gonna buy it in bulk from you, ma'am, and then I'm a DTC guy, direct to consumer.
Okay.
I'm gonna go online, I'm gonna market it on Facebook and ads and stuff. And he did. And he started blowing up, and here he is in his garage with his family and friends, and they're just going ham.
Yeah.
So then he says, okay, but you know what? This isn't the best stuff. So now we're going to reformulate it. Mm-hmm. So he had proof of concept, which you could do with your hair product, right?
Yeah.
And then at that point, but it's work.
Yeah.
It's work and time. I mean, Adrian's married. He's active. He travels. I mean, obviously, he's here in Baton Rouge to support his brother. You know, he spends a lot of time with his wife. They enjoy a lot of things. Doesn't have any kids currently, so he's got a little bit of free time. But that's something you could do, but obviously a little bit of cost and a little bit of time. What would, if you had to say, and you take a moment if you want, but what would you say would be your number one fear if you were going to embark on that and you turn the page and we're starting day one, I'm gonna start doing my product. What's your number one fear that could go wrong overall or whatever with doing that?
I think, let me see, probably having so much inventory and not being able to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just because, like, I'll be honest, like, I'm not the best when it comes to marketing, you know? So, like, I feel like if whatever product I have, I'd want to, like, push it. And I'd want to, like, you know, make videos and tutorials on how to use it. And so I guess my fear would be able to, like, just honestly committing to it, you know? If I'm going to come out with something, just come out with full force.
Full force, right.
Yeah.
Commit until it sinks or swims.
Yeah.
Right.
So I guess I have commitment issues. So,
we'll circle back to that.
That's what's kind of, I think that's what I'm like maybe a little bit afraid of, you know, all this and then like.
Yeah, because it's going to be some money.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe not a lot. If you did it like Moyes, I mean, you got packaging, labeling, you know, make sure that's legal. And then you just, then at that point, the proof of concept thing, you just start, you know, Amazon, eBay, whatever, however you're going to run it, Facebook ads, you get a Shopify page, whatever.
Right.
You know, that there's a lot of different ways to skin that cat. But like you said, I mean, commitment's probably the one thing you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you're half committed, you're going to probably get half results.
Yeah.
And be willing to iterate, be willing to make changes if the market says, you know what, your friends and family said, oh, it's a great idea, but they're just placating you. At the end of the day, you're like, eh, they're full of shit. They didn't want it. Nobody even wants to buy it. You know, at the end of the day.
You got to believe in it.
You got to believe in it. But also at the same time, if it doesn't work, you know, you shut it down and then go on to the next. You know, I mean, it doesn't mean you just. So many businesses have started off X and they went completely to F because it just wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
You know,
100%.
And there's nothing wrong with that. So, okay. So let's circle back again. Let's recap this. So the first thing to scale your operation with your skill set within the hair industry, you know, styling, blah, 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 cosmetology, you talked about either, you've already solo salons, scaling, you know, and then leveraging the space and then renting it out. You've talked about products.
Mm-hmm.
You really, if we wind it back, you really talked about identifying the best clients. You've tested it in LA. You've also iterated and you changed from cuts to color because you knew that was a better service to offer. And that can go for anybody. I mean, I know plumbers that used to do hose bibs and toilet clogs and stuff. And now they don't do that. Now they do repipes and they do commercial plumbing.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to have a hose bib, call somebody else. We're not that guy. So it's the same thing. You figured out, I don't want to be the kitty cut guy at Sports Clips making $15 a cut and getting a dollar tip and a slap on the ass.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to be doing $150 colors with these ladies who can afford it and they got their Louis bags and stuff, right?
Yeah.
All right, good. So there's that. So that's two. Give me another idea of where you can take your knowledge base in this industry and make money.
Probably education.
Classes.
Yeah.
Love it. All right, let's talk about that.
Education, that's obviously like, you know, it's one thing to like know how to do something, but like to teach someone would be would be different, obviously.
Right. And you have people in your space that do this.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, I know guys that educate, they travel like majority of the year,
mm-hmm.
and they're crushing it.
And how do they travel? What? How do they hook up and have the training sessions at other places? What? How do they anchor that?
So they probably get in with like a product line, mm-hmm. right? And then like that product line will send them out, and then they'll teach them how to like basically run these courses, and yeah, they're teaching it to like other stylists out in the world.
Right. Or even other salons, like that Main Ivy thing with Dom, right?
Yeah, they're a little more independent, right? But they have the following to back it up. So,
right.
Yeah, because I don't think they're aligned with any like type of like product.
No. Which they could.
They could, yeah.
Yeah.
But they came out with their own line.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I also think that's another a good way is like to collaborate with someone else too.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, for sure. Collabs. And that goes for any business.
Yeah.
You know, especially if it's complimentary.
Yeah.
You know, maybe like you talked about your esthetician, maybe you got with an esthetician line or a chain or something or whatever, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different things you could do and leverage other people's, instead of trying to grow your own business, you get with somebody that's already got that business and hopefully the arrangement, the relationship's symbiotic where you both benefit in some manner. You know?
Yeah. I think that duo is actually, it's pretty smart because like one does the cutting, one does the coloring.
Right.
It's two different people. So you're mm-hmm. getting two different like, you know, brains working at
yep
at these things, and it's yeah, it's like a dynamic duo.
Yeah. So what's the give us the obviously there's more money opportunity for the training or the classes. What's yeah. the what's a couple of detracting factors?
Maybe like the cost of traveling. Maybe not selling out. Like, yeah, maybe people not buying their tickets. Honestly, it doesn't seem like too bad. Maybe they have to pay to rent out the studio to teach the class at.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I mean, it seems like it's all relatively fine. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, obviously time, you know, the individual you and I have talked about that's doing a little bit of this, he travels out of state, I think, to do it.
Yeah.
So there's travel time. And when you're doing that, you're going to be shutting down your other portion of your business. So you're cannibalizing, you know, a little bit of that income that you'd be normally getting people into your chair. So hopefully it'll have to supersede that in a worthy manner, you know, and let's say you go from California to Dallas or I don't know, Chicago or something or whatever to do this, you know, and then you go, of course, building your brand would be something that would fuel that till you get the students to come in.
Yeah.
And then of course there's, you got to pre-sell it and then the time to teach it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, you know, that's a lot of work, you know,
it's a lot of work, but I'm like, this guy's probably, he's probably traveling on days he doesn't work in the salon.
Okay.
Right. If he's smart, he would do that.
Yeah. Friday, Saturday's off kind of
100%.
Thing.
100%. And if you're getting like 20, 30 people, maybe a class, many, huh? And you're okay. charging like $500 to $600 a person.
Yeah.
I think you could easily like sacrifice a few days in the salon.
So 15 grand, 20 Easy. Grand maybe. Okay. Yeah. All right. There you go.
Yeah. So like it takes away from his salon, but yeah. like, I mean, yeah, and the like you're making a lot more obviously on the road.
Yeah, so let's say 15 grand, and then what if you could turbocharge that, and you actually had a product that complemented the particular kind of styling that you're teaching that process.
Yeah,
that would be a double barrel shot. Yeah, you're getting two birds at that point, which would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But
that's yeah. I mean, that's educating. You know, it's harder to teach someone to do something versus like, you know, how to do it basically.
Yeah. Well, so, and you know, I've done that. So that's been part of my business model, and we're actually scaling it back, going more towards service.
Yeah.
Just, and it's, I'm in a different, you know, season of my life versus you. I mean, you're in the spring of your life and I'm more in the autumn and soon to be winter. and it's, I value time,
yeah.
you know, and I have, I mean, you've got a lot of time too, but the way, I mean, let's just compare and contrast. Let's say comparing yourself to doing like a solo thing or like a salon in a real nice part of town, either up in your area, or maybe you got a commute. Maybe you do something in Orange County or North County, like Anaheim Hills or Bray or something. And you've got yourself a 8-10 chair spot that's high traffic and your rent's 10 grand a month and you're netting out positive 25, 30 grand a month
yeah.
versus doing the training and the classes and having to fly to Dallas and Chicago and every 3 months doing that crap. Maybe that might be the better
route.
Better play, right?
Yeah. I think I don't know. I feel like for me personally, like I've always been really good with balancing my life, you know?
I agree.
So I would rather, yeah, as much as like traveling would sound fun and teaching classes And I don't know how you feel, but I know from when I talk to other people, it's like extremely rewarding when you teach someone.
Yeah.
And then they ended up branching out and they do their own thing and they're successful.
Yeah.
That's like the best thing ever.
It is. It is. And I've done both. I've had people, as you know, come to our school out here in SoCal. And then I've actually traveled. I've traveled all around the United States. I've sent people to Europe, Australia. We've done it all.
Yeah.
And yeah, the money was there and it was great and all. But, you know, looking back now, I mean, if somebody said, what do you think was the smartest move? I think it's either... I wouldn't even really do the training, to be honest with you, for me.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, you know, yeah, it's revenue and there's people making great money doing it. But at the end of the day, I would say there's probably things that you can make the same, if not better money with a better use of your time.
100%. Yeah. And I think my wife would like me a lot closer to home. And
which is important.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we've all got things we need to value, 100%. You know, in our lives. And if you've got your fingers on the important things that matter. Wow, well, that's good. So yeah, we covered a lot of things. We covered products. We covered leveraging your service, finding the right clients. We've talked about training versus classes, all those three things. I mean, hopefully, you know, assuming that you want to grow your business, you'll roll out one of these things, hopefully in the next. I mean, you just bought a house not too long ago, within about a year, year and a half, has it been?
Yeah, it's been like 2 years, yeah.
Wow, time flies, right?
2 years, yeah.
So you're obviously doing that. So you, that has a lot of your time building. He's building out his house. It was something that needed to be improved on. I mean, originally built in 1936,
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really cool house and a very historical
Spanish style.
Yeah. Spot here in SoCal. He's got, you know, like I said, this is a really tough time just for a young person like Adrian and his wife to purchase a property when a lot of properties in SoCal are $1 million and up, but the real estate market and then the expensive money is 7-8% loans. I mean, It showcases his skills and maturity to be able to put that all together. And he's got family on his wife's side that's been instrumental in helping build it out.
Yeah.
It's very, very fortunate. And of course, his mom's helped guide him all along the way. She bought property when she's young. She did a lot better than I did. So no, you've got a good demonstration there. So no, it's all good. Anything else you want to talk about? You want to cover anything else about your business or future or...
I would say maybe not. I mean, you know, like I come across a lot of people, right? And it's like you make these connections. Like I would say, like, use your resources. I mean, there's people out there that are willing to help you. You just got to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like in your industry, you're serving like all different types of people and
clientele.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, like I was fortunate enough to like, you know, have an uncle that's great with construction.
Yep.
So he was able to help me like build out my studio. But I would say, yeah, like definitely like just reach out. Like you never know.
Mentors, in other words.
100%.
And, yeah. Would you, Brophy, the one guy that you, was he more like a mentor a little bit too?
Just, yeah. Okay, Brophy's like, to this day, I haven't found anyone who can cut like him. And he's,
wow.
He's amazing.
He's older too, huh?
He's older. He's been in the game. He's a dinosaur. He's this awesome English dude. Bald headed. Like,
just, yeah. Which is sad for a stylist.
So
that's just so sad. You wish he would have had some hair.
He's a savage, but he's awesome. He's but yeah, I would definitely look at him like a mentor, and like I still keep in touch with him from time to time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say like learn as much as you can, learn the business side of things, because I think that will get you farther versus skill. You know, like I'm kind of more. I always lean with skill, but I know after being in my industry, it's like. It comes down to just how you market yourself. You
right.
know?
I agree. And that's
build clientele.
I really appreciate you saying that, Adrian, because that's the message I champion a lot is everybody in my industry, the auto body or paint and stent, think that the getting the right tools and being the best of the best and showcasing how great you are. Yeah, it's good for peacocking and puffing out your chest and all that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if your metric is getting accolades and having people love you, okay, great. What? But if it's making money.
It's not generating, yeah. You got to generate income.
If it's money and time, if you value your time and your life and you want to be able to do those things and you talk about spending time with your wife and blah, 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 travel versus in cash versus just being like the dude.
Yeah.
I'll take the cash and the time over the dude. Door number two, please.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say that.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's been good.
Well, I appreciate that. Appreciate your time, your candor. Opening up your personal and business information for all of us to share. Maybe we'll do a follow up in 12 months and we'll see what Adrian's done, if he's grown his styling business or his salon, or if he's gone more the real estate method. I mean, he right now he's he's you're feasting for money. So
100%. Or if I just take a back seat and I spiral, and I go live with mommy and daddy. Who knows?
You crash and burn. That okay. happened. My old man when he was 40.
Yeah.
He had to do a BK. He lost his job. I think the house foreclosed. He had.
Man.
Yeah, it was bad, and he had to rebuild at 40, but it worked out, and he ended up doing great and bought another house, but
yeah.
I something tells me
yeah.
that's not going to happen with AA here, so.
Yeah, I'd love to recap like a year from now and see.
Yeah, we'll happens. Circle back in a year from, what is this, almost April.
Yeah.
Cool, thank you very much for the time.
No problem.
All right, guys, you heard it there. That was Adrian Aguilar, hairstylist, entrepreneur, sports enthusiast, basketball player in the men's leagues. Little pickleball, I believe.
Everything. Golf.
Yeah, golf. Jeez. He does it all. He's a
weightlifting.
Yeah, weightlifting, but no back exercises. So thanks for tuning in, guys. Appreciate it. Hope you got something out of that. I know I did. It was very cool getting him on. It's a different perspective. I mean, you guys that have Autobody or Paintless Dan or any kind of business, I mean, there's information in there that at the very least keeps you thinking about how you can push certain levers and solve for problems to help your business grow. And if you're like me and you want to make more money and have more time, well, there you go. You just got all kinds of tips. So I appreciate you. Love you guys, man. Coming live, recorded from Baton Rouge. This is Brian Jump, SAI Service Marketing Podcast. We'll catch you on the next one. Bye-bye for now.